to the Attractive Youth Podcast, episode number 83, alongside the peripatetic Ryan Sir. I'm Don Helbig. Ryan, how you doing?
You always call me peripatetic. You got to find another several syllable word to describe me for the next episode. But I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing great. Excited about our guest. Who is it?
Well, it's a friend of mine in the industry. His name is Matt Sakel. He works for Skyline Attractions, working for the great Jeff Pike, who's been on the show before, as you guys have seen, over a year ago. Hey, but before we get started with Matt, remember to follow us on all your favorite podcast apps, Apple, Google, Spotify, you know the drill. We also have a video version on YouTube, and it's actually like a live video. It's not just like the audio with like a still image, and Matt's like super handsome, so you should probably watch that one too. But Matt, welcome to the show.
Well, hi guys, thank you for having me. You're too kind.
Well, Matt, you work for Skyline Attractions. Being a roller coaster engineer, it's got to be a dream job for you. What was your career path to get here?
So leading up to that, I did a lot of traditional work in the engineering sector. So things like, you know, like buildings or warehouses or playgrounds. I did a lot of work in just the non-entertainment sector. And, you know, it was obviously a dream of mine to be a roller coaster engineer. That's the whole reason why I became a roller coaster engineer. And I couldn't find a job right out of college. So I went ahead and took the next closest job that I could get. Because, I mean, you graduate from college, everyone needs to be employed. You got to make money somehow. And so it actually took me probably about like 10 years after graduating in order to find something in the themed entertainment industry. So I did anything from like automotive manufacturing plants. I did a lot of engineering work for that. I did a lot of work with like cell towers. Anytime, you know, Verizon wants to go and upgrade their antennas, they need things looked at as a structural engineer to make sure things aren't going to topple over. So I got a lot of my like core basic concepts in the general engineering world before I kind of transitioned into the themed entertainment world.
Yeah, that's really cool. So what kind of education, what was your college experience like?
So I am a civil engineer by trade. So that kind of covers a couple of different sectors, but I decided to kind of focus on structural engineering because I figured that was the closest to something that would be useful in the themed entertainment industry. So yeah, I did about 4.5 years of school to get there. And I have a bachelor's of science in civil engineering. And I also have a minor in business administration.
So in other words, you're smart.
In other words, I'm good at doing homework and know where to find things in the reference manual, I will say.
Okay. So you have a little bit of a diverse background there, not just designing roller coasters. So what are some of your favorite projects that you've worked on?
I definitely really enjoyed when I was working on a lot of the automotive assembly plant projects, just because I got to go out and see like these big robots that were like welding things and putting things together. It was just really cool to see like how they take like these raw materials for a car, and then on one side of the building you've got sheets of steel, on the other side you've got like doors that are ready to be assembled and put onto cars. So I always liked doing those projects. You got to travel around and see all the different auto manufacturers out there, and you worked with a lot of really smart individuals.
Well, that's really cool. What's your favorite like roller coaster project that you've had your hands on, or at least been involved with? I know it's such a collaborative effort, especially with Skyline having more than a dozen employees and working with GCI. But what was one of your projects that sticks out to you with within the industry?
From a roller coaster perspective, I guess I've only had a couple of them that have been built or are currently in the process of being built. I'm coming up on 2 years at Skyline Attractions, so I'm pretty new with Skyline, but if I have to go off of the ones that are being built or have been built, Zambezi would be probably the coolest, just because it's very different from what you see in the traditional wood coaster sense, with that spiral lift and just the low to the groundness of it. In terms of things not related to roller coasters, probably my favorite project would be a little like drop tower that I got to work on and do the structural design for.
Well, let me ask you this. You're talking about the different projects you've been involved with. How much of a thrill was it for you to actually go experience something that you had a part in designing?
So I haven't yet gotten a chance to ride something that I've like worked on yet. I did try to go out to ride Zambezi last year, but the park ended up closing early due to inclement weather and the ride never actually opened. But I have had a chance to ride the, I think it was called Tidal Twister at SeaWorld San Diego. Mm-hmm. So that's the only like Skyline attractions ride that I've gotten a chance to ride so far. But you know, I'm hoping maybe like next year in a couple of years, I get to go back out to Worlds of Fun and get to ride it. Who knows?
Yeah. So Zambezi Zinger opened to some rave reviews. So I think you're in for a real treat there. In a conversation that we had with Jeff Pike, he told us that during COVID, Skyline kind of branched out into things outside of the typical industry. Were you involved with that, and what kind of projects did you work on under that umbrella?
I came on at Skyline in 2022. So a little bit after, you know, the initial pandemic, but whenever we didn't have a project that was going on involving GCI or one of our rides, we'd pick up other small projects. So I've worked on things from like little trampoline parks, like the indoor sky zones or things like that. All that stuff needs to be engineered. Everything needs to have, you know, signed and sealed by an engineer. So I've gotten a chance to do a little bit of work with that. I mentioned earlier, I got to do like a little indoor drop tower that does a bunch of different rotations. That was it was a great learning experience, and just learning how ride forces interact with the structure. You know, in the traditional structural engineering world, I want everything to be stationary. I don't want things to move. So coming into this, like, and suddenly having to like think about how the forces on the structure are going to interact as it twirls around this way, but then also goes up and down this way. It was a challenge, but it was something that was way out of, I think, the normal typical experience of any like structural engineer out there. So it's been good. It's been really cool to kind of work on some of those non big, huge roller coaster projects.
You know, Matt, when you do what you do, you're going to get challenged a lot. You know, you're going to get pushed, you know, your abilities in that. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So kind of like what I said right there, it takes like a whole nother like mind shift of thinking when you have loads that are moving around on a structure as opposed to a load that, you know, is just kind of there. When you look at like a traditional building or something, some of the more recent challenges that I've faced is, you know, in school and with any kind of like projects here around the United States, they kind of tailor you and prepare you and show you like, here's all the United States codes. Here's your codes for how to apply wind loads to your structure. Here's how you do your like foundation design. All of that's done kind of in the US-centric base, but we're currently working on some projects that are outside the United States in Europe, so I have had to kind of give myself a crash course and learn how all of the European design standards work. And while they're pretty similar in what you see over here in the United States, it is not just a conversion of imperial to metric units. I wish it were that easy. But that has been probably one of the more bigger challenges I've faced so far, is just trying to learn how things are done on the other side of the other side of the world.
So Matt, you mentioned that you had ridden Tidal Twister, but Tidal Twister was completely baked before you came to Skyline, right? Just to clarify. Okay, so let me ask you this. How did you find the job there? I mean, obviously, like, I feel like everybody with, you know, a year or so left in engineering school goes to Intamin and B&M's website every 15 minutes to see if they post a job. But, you know, Skyline is pretty well regarded by the enthusiasts, but it's not a name that the casual coaster enthusiast might know. How did you get connected with the position there?
So I was in school, I was in college at the time, and GCI, this was before Skyline had even like broke off from GCI to start their own thing. GCI had an event that they called FredEx, and that was kind of their event to bring in students that were interested in interning for them, just people that wanted to learn more about what you do at a roller coaster manufacturer. And I believe it was their second event that they did this. And I ended up going down there with a buddy. We drove from Toledo to Sudbury, Pennsylvania overnight. And that's where I got to meet like Evan. I got to meet Jeff. I got to meet Chris. And that's kind of where I like first introduced myself to the Skyline folk. So there was a little bit of exposure there. I didn't get the internship, obviously, but it was, I don't know, it was somewhere around 2021 where I saw that they had posted, Skyline had posted something on their social media channels that they were looking for a structural engineer. And me being the super enthusiast that I am, knowing who Skyline is, I try to keep tabs on all the manufacturers because you never know when a position might open up. So it was just really just keeping an eye out and seeing that they had the need. So I went ahead and applied. And then it was quickly like heard that like, oh, like Evan had mentioned, oh yeah, like I remember talking to you however many years ago. So it was the small like little like interactions that we had that I can't say for sure that that's what made them hire me, but it's all about who you know in this industry. I think you guys know that just as well as I do. It's all about your personal connections.
Yeah, it definitely is that. Let's talk about Coaster Track. There's all different kinds out there. So what are your thoughts on Titan Track?
I love it. I have gotten to ride Predator when it first got its first round of Titan Track. I think we're working on like round three now. And so I'd ridden it before it had Titan Track, and I think it is a great product that allows areas of the ride that are in like high stress, a lot of maintenance, to kind of like just smooth out and, you know, really not have to worry about it much after it's put on there. I think it definitely has a time and place for wherever it needs to go on rides. I am very excited though for whenever it happens to see the first full, like from the ground up Titan Track attraction. Cause I think that it has a great, you know, place for replacing like existing track on a coaster, but it has a lot of capabilities that no one has seen before on a wood coaster. I mean, I guess I've seen it before on a wood coaster, but nothing from, you know, GCI. So I think the future is bright with Titan Track.
Yeah, with Titan Track, I mean, it certainly does help a lot of parks out, you know, with their maintenance cost, and it's going to extend the life of a coaster. So I'm a big fan.
Right. It's better than the alternative of demolishing the roller coaster altogether, I would say.
Yeah, I would agree. So, Matt, so just to fill everybody in, you and I have kind of had a running joke for over a year now about structural engineers versus mechanical engineers, in which I remember being in line for Mummy at Universal with you, and you made the argument that structural engineers were more important because the building wouldn't be there without a structural engineer. And I made the correct and probably more prominent argument of there'd be no reason for a building if there wasn't mechanical engineers. Now, as many people know, I often talk without knowing what the heck I'm talking about. We've had done enough shows for people to figure that out on their own. Can you talk about what you do as a structural engineer and how it differs from what a mechanical engineer does? Because I think most people who might know a coaster engineer probably knows a mechanical engineer. Can you define the difference a little bit?
Yeah, so I guess the way that I like look at it is the mechanical engineers, they like to deal with things that move in general. So in terms of like Skyline and the work that we do that has to do with like the trains, that has to do with the braking, it has to do with the propulsion systems, has to do with anything that is going to move on the ride, essentially. And that where you draw the line between the mechanical engineer and the structural engineer, you know, is there to predominantly make sure that things that don't move stay and do and perform as they should. So that is the track, that is the columns that support the track, that is your loading platforms, that's your maintenance platforms, the foundations that support the ride. So pretty much are anything like above the wheels on a roller coaster is mechanical. Anything below the wheels, that is my territory as a structural engineer.
Explain that pretty well, I think.
I make sure things don't fall over and make sure that the winds don't knock it over, the ride rolling over, it doesn't like crumple or anything. I'm there to make sure that everyone stays safe.
Well, Matt, you know, you're a big fan of the industry. Of all the different parks and different places you've been to, different roller coasters you've ridden, what's your favorite roller coaster? And if you don't want to call out just one, you know, maybe talk about the top three or four that you really like and why.
Yeah. As we were chatting before the show, I also don't have a number one. So I have a couple of in my top. So here in the States, I would definitely throw out VelociCoaster here in my home city of Orlando, Florida. That ride is just very good on the ride itself, the theming around it, the forces. I think the ride would, you know, hold up very well on its own, even if it didn't have all of the theming attached to it. So that one is definitely up there at the top for me. I will mention to my favorite roller coaster, for sentimental reasons, Magnum XL 200, just because my home park was Cedar Point growing up. So I spent many times there and riding Magnum. That was definitely one of the rides that I remember looking up and being like, oh God, am I going to be able to like ride that? Like, am I going to be brave enough to ride that? And I had a chance to work on it for a couple of seasons back when I was in college. So it's near and dear to my heart. I know that's a very polarizing roller coaster amongst the enthusiast community, but I love it. And then probably outside of the United States, I would say like Ride to Happiness at Plopsaland de Panay. That ride is insane. And the amount of different like combinations and ride experiences you can have with the spinning of the cars, it's lovely. I hope that we see more of those over here in the United States.
And do you remember your first roller coaster?
I don't, because ever since I can remember, I've been riding roller coasters. So it probably Junior Gemini / Wilderness Run or something at Geauga Lake, because I know we were kind of sandwiched in between Cedar Point and Geauga Lake. But I've got like black and white on ride photos of like 5-year-old me screaming my head off like riding rides. So something around there.
Okay.
So Matt, you know, getting back to the professional end of, you know, the coaster industry, if you're going to have a Mount Rushmore of coaster engineers, and like, let's not, I mean, you don't have to put like Jeff Pike on it or anything like that. Let's talk about classic, you know, up through, you know, the 2000s, the Werner Stengel era and stuff like that. Like, who would you put on it?
Stengel would be definitely on there. I would also put Ron Toomer on there. I would probably also put like Alan Schiltke on that. I don't know if that falls within your time frame or not.
He falls within all time frames.
Okay.
Yes, he does.
Okay, great.
All of them so far. I mean, every one of them.
Yeah, and then I guess probably like maybe like someone like John Allen or one of the old like classic like
John A. Miller
coaster designers. Yeah, John Miller.
Yeah. Well, Miller has the most patents, I think, for roller coaster design, the anti-rollback mechanism and stuff like that. So I think that would be a good one. Werner Stengel, I mean, nobody has their fingerprints on the industry more than him. you know, as far as roller coasters are concerned. And that Ron Toomer, like, you know, the whole looping coaster era and, you know, Magnum and, you know, the Vortex and all sorts of just like, just awesome roller coasters. You know, John Allen, you know, of course, you know, that's the George Washington of roller coasters, really. But yeah, very cool.
Question for you right now is, you know, what you're doing. For me, wanting to get into PR and working in the industry, in PR, my influences were Ruth Voss and Bill Mefford. They were at Kings Island in the 1980s, learned so much from them. You have an opportunity right now to work with Jeff Pike. You know, I mean, he's brilliant. So what kind of an influence has he been on you?
All of the partners, including Jeff at Skyline, they have such a wealth of knowledge and experience behind them that that is invaluable when it comes to someone like me who's only, you know, a couple of years into a specific, like, ride manufacturing position. You know, it's those little, like, life lessons that they, like, they tell you, or the stories that they tell you, where, you know, you think something's going to work out on paper, but, you know, no, they've got the real world experience to say, you know, we thought that too, but here's why this works better, and here's why we do this the way, you know, why we do this way. So so those guys, and just their years of experience, and they're so hands-on. They're still so hands-on with the company and everything that they do. They have everything, their involvement in everything. So it's that passion and that, like, experience that, like, really, like, helps me grow and be the engineer that I am.
So expanding on that, what's your favorite part of being a roller coaster engineer? Well, because you and I have had a discussion, and you essentially, you know, to sum up, I think what you said was that, yeah, it's cool that you're working on roller coasters, but it's also a lot of work, you know, so there's no way around it. So what's your favorite part of it, though?
My favorite part is, I think, just kind of knowing that, like, I am playing up in hopefully maybe another, like, younger person like me who's, you know, getting into the whole enthusiasm of, like, roller coasters. Like, I love knowing that I'm playing a part in, like, maybe, like, helping some kids someday discover the fact that they are also, like, a roller coaster lover. Like, theme parks and amusement parks are such a big part of, like, culture worldwide. It's not even just something in the United States, it's worldwide. So it's cool to be a part of an industry that is so small but makes such a big impact on, like, the lives of everyone else. And I don't know, like, theme parks are a whole different kind of business. Like, yeah, they're there to make money, but, like, they're there to make money by people having fun. And there's, I don't know, we all need more fun in the world these days. So I love being a part of that world.
So Matt, say you come up with this idea that you have for a roller coaster. How do you go about pitching that to everyone that you're working with there at Skyline? Like, hey, I think this would be great.
Oh, so I haven't actually had to do anything like this before, but if I had to do it, I would probably try to come up with some sort of a nice, like, mock-up in, like, a 3D rendering program like Blender or Rhino or something. Or I'm not the best at hand sketching, but I'd try to, like, bring my idea to some sort of visual form. For me, I'm a visual learner, so anything that I can visualize or, like, describe in that way is good. So honestly, I would probably, like, come up with something like that and come up with a really sick PowerPoint with lots of animations, and I would, you know, come up with a script and, like, basically, like, present it to the people, like the partners here, and just see what they would have to say about it.
Yeah, that sounds like a great way to go about it. I know a lot of times in different types of things that, you know, get presented, sometimes you hear about the idea, but there's not really a lot of visual to go along with it to support it. So, yeah, I think that would definitely be the way to do it.
So you've wanted to be a roller coaster engineer your whole life, is the way I take this conversation. You've definitely come up with ideas, like, in the past however many years that you've been thinking about this. Was your first instinct when you first started working actually in the industry for a roller coaster manufacturer, like, I'm gonna submit all these ideas, we're gonna have the first, you know, launched flying coaster that has 12 invert, like, or was it kind of like, I want to kind of like sit in on the projects that they have? Like, where was your head on that as far as new ideas are concerned?
My head was definitely in the, I am here to learn. I am here to soak up as much as I can. I'm here to like be the best like engineer that they ever hired. Like, I came in a mentality of just wanting to learn like from the people before me. Cause you know, it's funny cause you know, I have been an enthusiast. I still am an enthusiast. So knowing all of the effort and work and all of the behind the scenes stuff that goes into making these projects happen, like it's totally different from, I guess, what I expected or what I thought before just being on the other side of things. So, I guess to answer your question, no, I didn't go in thinking like, yeah, I'm gonna like suggest X, Y, and Z and we're gonna get this built. I still have some of those ideas up here and I still have like talked about some of them, but we definitely like, it's all very collaborative at Skyline. Like everyone has a very like similar like voice or like the same level of voice. Everyone hears everyone. We, you know, get together really frequently and, you know, have tons of meetings to talk about like what's the next big thing? What are we going to like show off at IAPA, you know, this year, like the week after IAPA ends. So it is always a open dialogue and a continuous dialogue of, you know, what's the next big thing.
Along those lines, you know, they always say one great rock show can change the world. As a group, do you guys sit there and think, man, just one ride that we do can change the industry? Do you guys think about things like that?
Definitely. I the most recent, you know, IAPA, that was something that we, you know, sat around for a long time, just brainstorming, throwing out ideas, no matter how ridiculous they were. But I think everyone wants to come up with like the next big thing, the next thing that like all the parks are going to want to buy from you. And it's finding that balance of, you know, what does the current like theme park market look like? What is everyone looking to add? I feel like currently right now, like the family coaster market is a very big thing. I feel like everyone wants to add attractions that the entire like family can experience. So that's definitely been a big focus for us as Skyline. And I think you can kind of see that with both the Paschetti coasters and the Trail Runner.
Yeah, I didn't go to IAPA this past year, but the year before is when they debuted the Aurora Light package. I think they debuted the Paschetti Bowl, but the Aurora Light package was showcased. But Jeff, when he was on the show, mentioned that, you know, Skyline tries to bring one new thing to the industry every IAPA, or maybe it's two new things. I can't remember. Maybe you can clarify that. But is it one? Okay, because two is a lot. But so you mentioned, you know, you start talking about it right after IAPA. I'm not going to ask you to say what's going to be brought to this year's IAPA, but has it already been settled on, or is it like, are you down to a couple ideas, or are you not involved with that at all?
No, I am involved, but we have not settled on what the new item for this upcoming IAPA is going to be. Just something that everyone's been told to like kind of keep in mind, keep thinking about. I think we've got a couple of ideas, but we still have some time to kind of flesh it out and figure out what we're going to debut. Yeah,
plenty of time.
Yeah. We're in March. It is crazy how quickly IAPA like creeps up on us every year.
You know, Matt, there's probably been more people that have gone to the moon than those that design roller coasters. So if you had advice for anyone who's, you know, they're in high school, college, that wants to become a roller coaster engineer, what would it be?
So you have, I could give you the same advice that probably anyone would give you is, you know, study something in STEM, you know, focus on math, you know, be a mechanical or a structural engineer or electromechanical engineer, like, all that kind of advice is probably out there. I know from my own personal experience, the biggest advice that I give to people is to not give up. I think that, you know, there's room for anyone who is passionate in the industry to work in the industry, but you have to be patient. You have to understand that maybe it may not be like your first job out of college or out of, you know, your apprenticeship or whatever schooling you may do. It may not be the first job that you have, but the skills that you like learn in any other sort of field, I can guarantee that there's at least something that would apply to the amusement park industry. So don't give up. Like, keep bugging people that you meet. Like, make sure that you reach out and keep in touch with the connections that you make. Apply to jobs that you think that you may not qualify for. Like, apply for jobs that you think you may be like overqualified for. You never know what may come out. You may never know what may also be hiding in the ranks. Oh, you know, you may not be a good fit for this role, but we're about to look for this position. I think you'd be great for it. Just don't give up. Be persistent and network.
So, I mean, just to expand on that a little bit, given the resources that are out there today, what do you recommend as far as networking is concerned? I mean, you and I, being around the industry, probably have some pretty good ideas, but if somebody is just wants to be in the industry but hasn't dipped their toe in, what are the resources available for networking?
There's a good amount. I would say if you are a student in college, a lot of the major colleges out there that have like engineering programs, most of them have like a theme park or roller coaster like professional group that you can join. When I went to school at the University of Toledo, I had another person that was trying to start up one of those clubs, and it went around for like the first like year or two and then kind of fizzled out. But I know that like Ohio State has programs, Penn State has programs, UCF here in Florida has programs. Like, that is a great way to connect with people that are like around your age and also have a similar like goal in terms of careers. IAPA obviously is a great way to network and meet a bunch of people. Take advantage of that, especially if you're a student and you can get that student rate, because it is expensive if you are not a student. And then there's a bunch of other organizations out there. I know one of them is the Themed Entertainment Association, or TEA. I was pretty involved with them in my previous company before I came here to Skyline, and I've done a couple of things, gone to a couple of mixers as a Skyline employee, but that is another great organization, probably more themed towards like the people that do a lot of like the theming and a lot of the vendors that work for like Disney or Universal, the big players. That's a great organization to kind of see just not only, you know, what's beyond like the ride manufacturing and what's beyond the parks, because there's so much out there that you probably don't even like realize.
Absolutely. All right, Matt. Well, hey, we really appreciate you being on the show. It really is an honor, and this is a long time coming. So thank you so much for sharing your insights and your journey to becoming a roller coaster engineer with our friends at Skyline Attractions.
Thank you guys for having me. It was fun.
Awesome.
All right.
Stick around. We got the pick six up next.